Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Man, do not let it snow, especially in New York City. It is 12:07 here on 77 WABC. You're listening to Curtis and Cosby. And Curtis, I think the New York Daily News said it best. They called it a sleet storm. It was Snowmageddon. It was the biggest disaster. And you and I were out in the bunch of it. I think so many of our listeners were. And if you were in the Port Authority, I think that epitomizes it, just the chaos and the ill-preparedness. This is what you heard if you were at the Port Authority bus terminal.
Your attention, please. Please be advised, buses are experiencing extensive delays. Authorities in New Jersey are completing a plowing operation along eastbound 495. Again, authorities are completing a plowing operation near 495.
What a disaster, Curtis. An utter disaster.
Normally, at rush hour, you'd have 1,500 buses of New Jersey Transit and other providers going in and out of the Port Authority. Only 250 were able to make it to the Port Authority. There were buses crashing into one another. No plows, no salting on either the Jersey side or the New York City side. Our elected officials, half in the bag, Murphy, he's lying. Oh, I saw snow plows and salt spreaders. De Blasio is lying. There was nothing. This was a spritz. This was 6 inches.
And also,
how are we
going to
deal with a snowstorm?
And Curtis, it was predicted, too. That was the thing, too. It was predicted. It was expected. It's like, they didn't believe the weather guys? We all knew it was going to happen. And I felt so bad for so many of you commuters who were stuck in the thick of it, especially you at Port Authority.
But again, these are the same people who have driven New Jersey Transit right to the point of not functioning, New Jersey Transit trains and buses. These are the same people who run the mismanaged subway and bus system, Long Island Railroad system, road system, bridge and tunnel system. Why would we think in the middle of a day in which they have to exert a little more energy and give it a little more attention, that they're going to be able to deliver for the commuters when they're having failures each and every day when it's not weather-related?
Right, you're right. On a good day, they can't get it together.
Exactly.
And here it was yesterday, and poor commuters, especially those at Port Authority, they were stuck in the middle of it.
A mess.
Yeah. 4.5 hours.
And where are you trying to get to?
They had the first, second, and third floors closed till about 8 o'clock. And then once we got to the gate, the line was 500 deep.
This has been the worst I've seen it.
You know, I felt their frustration. And here's a little more.
I'm shocked that a transit system could be shut down for a couple of, not even an inch of snow and rain.
Well, no, don't be shocked. That's New York, New Jersey nowadays. And then imagine, if you typically take a bus from the Port Authority to New Jersey or other parts, you figure, okay, I'll take the A train up to the George Washington Bridge bus station. I'll catch a bus there. Not happening. No matter any of the alternatives you looked at, wasn't happening. In fact, on the Jersey side, there were junior high school kids who had to sleep in their school gymnasiums all night long.
What about the GW Bridge? I mean, the GW Bridge being closed, that was a disaster. And then the shot of the Port Authority, can you imagine, Curtis, here it is, in the height of it all, you have folks at the Port Authority, they said the Port Authority's closed. The picture looks like unbelievable, the images that we see all over the place. And then you see these people standing in line, waiting to get home. They were so ill-prepared. And everybody's pointing fingers today. So everybody, do you think a number of the folks, especially with Port Authority and sanitation department, because Port Authority said, hey, we need help sanitation to clean up the GW Bridge. Do you think that there should be some reprimand that it's time to clean house? If they can't handle it on a good day, well, like you said, Curtis, but there should be somebody accountable for the disaster. It's 1-800-848-9222.
The Port Authority already clips you every time you go over the GW Bridge at an outrageous rate. You're paying $15. They got more than enough equipment. They could have been out there at the ready. They weren't.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's amazing, Curtis, that they weren't. Why were they not? It's it's obvious it's coming down.
We're expecting people who are incompetent every day in delivering transportation to commuters, whether in the roadways, whether on the rails, whether on the buses, to suddenly get it together when there's a little bit of snow. And it was only a little bit of snow. We're talking 6 inches. This was not a snowstorm. This was not a nor'easter.
And it came down. It was predicted almost to the T of the time it was going to come down. They knew it was going
to
come down.
Here's a letter that came to me, an email from the school that my oldest son Anthony goes to. The headmaster writing, she wrote, "Yesterday was a crime when it came to buses. I cannot fathom how your children were getting home past midnight. We are investigating here. Unfortunately, we have no control over the buses, which are controlled by the city."
And this is what the mayor had to say about it all, because, of course, he has taken big-time heat.
We had here, I don't want to use an overused phrase, but we had something of a perfect storm, that a bunch of things came together very suddenly, not just the weather. Obviously, the closure of the George Washington Bridge, I certainly can't remember that happening previously, in the middle of what seemed to be a pretty normal day. That really threw everything off. That had a horrible chain reaction on the entire city. So this was a bad, bad situation. There are definitely some things we need to learn from this and some things we need to do better. But it's also important to note that, we got just about every form of bad luck we could have gotten yesterday.
Bad luck or bad management?
How is the closing of the George Washington Bridge impacting traffic in Brooklyn, in Staten Island, in Queens, where there was all kinds of mishigash?
Right.
I can understand. You say, okay, the Upper West Side, Manhattan, you go up to Washington Heights, Inwood, even into the Bronx because of the Cross Bronx. But to suggest that the George Washington Bridge closing created this chaos in all five boroughs, and then back in New Jersey, which had problems galore,
right,
is such an... It's almost like you're grabbing for excuse. Just acknowledge, Murphy and de Blasio should have a press conference. We blew it. We messed up. It won't happen
again.
And also,
hold somebody accountable, Curtis, because the big thing that you and I always talk about here on the show is that these things happen. You think about what happens with HUD. Nobody's held accountable. Something happens here. Nobody's held accountable. It's not like he's actually out there plowing. But if you can't figure it out, you hire people who can't.
Maybe
hold somebody accountable.
Now I know why we need Jeff Bezos and that heliport there in Long Island City. It might be the only way to get in and out the way they run the mass transit system.
Good point.
Let's go to Paulie, who's calling from North Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Paul?
Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. So, okay. So I first started to see trouble. I was in Bloomfield heading toward Route 3, and I saw a flatbed truck that couldn't get up a little incline at Florida place, go figure, right? I get to Route 3. This is like, I guess, a little after 4. I see one plow. Probably I was on Route 3 for probably, 3 hours or something, and then diverted over toward 1 and 9 because 495 was totally messed up. And I saw those buses trying to get to the Port Authority. They even have, the bus lanes and whatever. But forget it, because without plowing and with trucks and people, they weren't spinning out, but just people weren't really moving. A lot of people can't drive on that. Everybody left work early, so by 4 o'clock, everybody was on the roads. Basically, I can tell you from the Jersey side, there's just no way those buses could get in when I heard about the
Paul, you don't know what you're talking about. According to your half in the bag, Governor Murphy, he saw the plows. He saw the salters.
Oh, yeah, right. But I saw one. I was out there for several hours.
All right.
One? That's it? I didn't see one.
Paul, I believe you.
I saw one. And sometimes it didn't even have its plow down.
Oh, my God. Wait, he didn't have his plow. Was he having eggnog or something sitting back?
I don't know what he was doing, but it's like for a while I was like, is he actually working? But then I actually, when I saw him put it down, then I went behind
well,
him.
Well,
and
Paul,
a lot of his people really don't know how to drive.
I trust you because I know you weren't drinking. Half in the bag, Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, is always stoned to the bone. In fact, we'll be talking about why people drink so much in the winter later on in the show. Let's go to Mike in New York. Welcome to Curtis. Sam Rita Cosby here on WABC. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Curtis, Rita, how are you guys doing today?
Good. We're trying to stay warm. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, listen, I was watching the snowplows practicing all summer long, and now when it came time to actually do the work, I didn't see one.
Now, Mike, you're lying, because de Blasio said the crews were out there. Shame on you. The sanitation men and women were working hard with their dozers, their backenders, their plows, and their salters, Mike. Are you calling the mayor a liar? Are you saying the mayor is a liar, Mike?
No, they were out there, but I think they're in the gin mills.
Gin mills, that's right.
Exactly.
Let's go to Keith from New York City. Keith, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead, Keith.
I wish I had de Blasio, the a-hole, and that stupid Bourbonator Cuomo in front of me right now. From my home to Parsons, Jamaica, 10-minute bus ride, took me 2.5 freaking hours. I didn't see any freaking snow plows. I didn't see any sanders. On the way in earlier, we were on the 59th Street Bridge. Cars are flying backwards because they couldn't get up the dang bridge. I didn't see a cop car. I saw FD out there. They were doing the job, cutting down the trees.
Wow, you know what's interesting, Curtis?
Kick their butts from here to freaking Hong Kong.
Keith, I'll tell you, I did not see a cop car. I did not see a plow. I was out and about for quite a bit and did not see a single one.
How dare you besmirch the hardworking sanitation department that our mayor said, oh, no, they were out there working real hard. They were putting the salt down before the snow even hit.
Yeah, it's
what
bad luck.
What a Pinocchio liar.
Bad luck.
Let's
I
go
mean,
to John.
Come on, what a lame excuse, Curtis. Bad luck.
Let's go to John in Garfield, New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Johnny.
Hi, John.
Hey, Curtis, you know what's Passaic, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you know, you take Passaic, you take 21-3 to go to New York. I was going to West New York from Passaic. It took me 5.5 hours, Curtis.
Oh, my gosh.
No plows, no cops around.
John, why are you contradicting your half-in-the-bag Governor Murphy, who claimed he saw plenty of dozers, plenty of plows, plenty of backenders, and plenty of salters?
I tell you why, because he said himself. He was driving behind a motorcade or something of plows.
Of course.
DPW trucks and everything. He was behind it.
Of course.
Yeah, they were all at Governor Murphy's house. Let's go to Freddie Q. Fred Q from Brooklyn. Fred, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead.
Well, before I make my comment, I'm glad I live in Bay Ridge because when it snows, the R train always runs. That's one of the few lines.
I think we lost him.
I think we lost him, but he was making a point about the R train being there. Were a couple trains.
Let's go to
that
Daniel.
Were up, but most of them were not.
Daniel, calling from Wayne. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Danny,
hi, Danny.
Hey, I think we should be better prepared for next time. An error doesn't become a mistake until you lose to correct it. In a similar parallel, Doug Sattel, SITTEL.
Let's go to Eric, who's calling.
But
from
I liked
Mawa.
His first point was good.
Eric and Mawa, welcome to WABC. Eric,
guys, great show as always. Listen, I had an eye appointment at NYU. I'm in Mawa. Okay, normally it takes me 45 minutes to get there. My daughter was driving. I have a 4x4. We get there, and I'm done at 12:30, and it was starting to come down a little bit. We're going home. No problem. Going past the United Nations, guys out there taking selfies because it's snowing. From there to Mawa, 5.5 hours.
Mm.
These people do not know how to drive. They got cars with ball tires. Even the all-wheel drive performance cars can't make it unless you got an SUV. Route 17 South was backed up beyond Route 4 and Route 17 past Suffern, New York.
But, Eric, they got to clear the roads. Can I tell you? I mean, I was on main roads. They were not cleared.
Because nobody, even the police cars that were there, and I did not see one plow.
I'm with you.
Eric,
I did not either. They were MIA.
Why are you lying? Why are you lying? We heard from half in the bag, Governor Murphy.
Murphy is seeing plows.
And de Blasio. We heard from de Blasio. Said there were plenty of dozers, backenders, plenty of plows, plenty of salters. Could both of them have been lying to us? Oh, yeah, that's what politicians do. They lie.
It was just bad luck, not bad management.
Let's go to Tommy in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Tommy.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, how are you guys? I agree with Rita that they have to clean house. This is ridiculous. Hire somebody from Buffalo. Hire somebody from Syracuse. They deal with the snow all the time. I take my kids up there skiing. The roads are immaculate, and it snows all the time up there. How does a city shut down with 6 inches of snow? It's mind-boggling.
And Tommy, knowing it was coming too, like some, exactly. you know, you could maybe say, "Oh God, we didn't predict." It was predicted. It basically came exactly where it was predicted, almost to the hour that it was predicted. That's what ridiculous.
They really need to bring people in who live in these climates where it snows all the time.
Well, right. I got to tell you, Tommy. Normally, they would have the salt carriers, the salt trucks, out and just waiting, idling. I didn't see any. You didn't see any of the plows waiting. So our mayor's lying to us. Governor Murphy's lying to us because they just rolled over on this and they fail us with mass transit every day. So why wouldn't they fail us when there's 6 inches of snow on the ground? Let's go to Tommy, who's calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Tommy.
Hi, Tom.
I didn't see one plow yesterday on Staten Island. They shut the buses down. And now I see the salt trucks out now.
Today they're out. That's hilarious.
That's and they're not even picking up the garbage today either.
Mm. Oh, my God. You know what's sad? Nobody will be held accountable.
You're an ingrate, Tommy. You even want your garbage picked up, right?
I want everything.
They finally get out there. They're putting the salt down. Meantime, the rain is washing it all away. You don't even need the salt anymore. So they're dumping their loads to prove that they went out to their supervisor. Hey, you know, I dumped my load. And now they're not picking up garbage. You know, Tommy, according to people like de Blasio and Murphy, you just are never satisfied. It's gimme, 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 gimme. Oh, God. I want to take a shower from these officials and their lame excuses. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. 6 inches. What are we going to do when it's 16 inches, 20 inches of snow? 1-800-848-9222. 6 inches of snow and brings the tri-state area to a complete stop. Oh, my, oh, my. Let's go to Johnny, who's calling from the Bronx. Welcome to WABC, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, Curtis, how are you? You know, I left Piscataway, New Jersey at 1:30. Had to drive through Scotts Plains, this one, Clark, Linden. When I finally got to horrible Elizabeth, nothing, every side street, everything. I'm following my ways. It's telling me left. It was a block. Right, finally I get through the Lincoln Tunnel. Now I got to go to 60th and Madison, pick up my girlfriend.
Hey, John, did you see a plow in the middle of all this?
Didn't see nothing. Not even a cop. When I get to Harlem, St. Nicholas Ave, everybody was making that a one way, heading towards the Bronx. No one followed anything. It looked like End of Days.
it was like the scene out of I Am Legend. You're right. It was a mess.
Wait, I don't understand, John. How is it with all that travel you did, going down side streets, going through almost every town, borough, village, northern New Jersey, and then eventually into Manhattan and the Bronx, that you didn't see one plow, you didn't see one sanitation plow or one salter on either side? Because the governor and the mayor assured us, oh, there were plenty out there.
Oh, what a mess. Let's go to Fred from Brooklyn.
Fred, think they were lying to us?
You think? What do you think? No, it was just bad luck, Curtis. That's what, you know what? You know what the thing is? What's a mess to me is that why would you could say, okay, we're caught flat-footed. Be honest with yourself.
Oh,
fire somebody.
They got to fire themselves.
No, not them. I'm saying. But,
what do you mean? They got to fire themselves.
He's not out there plowing. At least do something to the sanitation commissioner. That's outrageous.
Murphy was drunk, like he always is. And de Blasio was probably just waking up when the first snowflakes hit.
And we want to be drunk if we have to deal with this again.
Let's go to Alan, who's calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here. WABC, Alan?
Yeah, hi, Curtis. You know why they didn't put down salt yesterday? They didn't have any.
Oh.
Now, why do you say they didn't have any? I've looked at some of the cargo locations where they store it. Seems like there was enough salt to deal with a measly 6 inches, Alan.
Yeah, but they didn't have it in the right places. I passed Capodanno Boulevard down by the beach.
Yes.
They usually use the parking lot there to store salt.
Yep.
I passed there just as it started snowing, about 12:30, 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Not a grain of salt there.
Well, that's,
there was a truck.
That's interesting.
That's a good indicator. Secondly,
yeah.
You didn't see any pickup trucks or any sanitation vehicles or even subcontracted vehicles waiting on the side of the road.
That's interesting, because they are usually there. So maybe there is something else that's a little
it's
fishy.
It's called our officials who are asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, but if they were not in the right places, too, that's interesting,
Murphy
Curtis.
And de Blasio should have a joint press conference in which they announce, we suck. We were a dollar short, day late. We apologize. It'll
but
never happen
again.
But they
will never do that, and you know that. That's the problem. There are so many blatant mistakes.
Oh, wait.
And they never hold anybody accountable.
They just announced that in a press conference at 3:30 today to do their mea culpa. So
yeah, no, just
stay
tuned. No, it's going to be, it's bad luck. It's like, you know,
we'll see.
We got dealt a bad hand.
At least Murphy's had enough time to sober up. But first, let's get our news headlines and update. $12.40, and the bad company was evidenced yesterday when the MTA board, appointed mostly by Andrew Evilize Cuomo and some by Comrade Bill de Blasio, met, being led by their new dictator, who is Fernando Ferrer, the former failed Bronx Borough president and failed mayoral candidate. But its president, Andy Byford, the wanker that Cuomo brought over from England, was conveying bad news to the commuters by talking about the need to raise fares at the beginning of the year. Fares, fees, taxes. But before they do so, they want to be kind enough to have tea and crumpets with us and hear from average commuters.
Much like the chair, I want to hear what the public say first. So we've got the hearings lined up. The hearings are being arranged right now. So I'm not going to formulate my position or have a defined position until I've heard what the members of the public have said.
Could tell a guy is lying and fibbing. He's like talking over himself. It's a done deal. It's already in the bag. So they'll have these public meetings. They'll nod their head and they'll raise the fare.
You know what's the worst part
the
of it all, Curtis? In the middle of all of this, what is so bad is that here it is on the worst transportation day we have seen in some time yesterday. I don't think there's any gripe about it. That this is when it comes up. Talk about the irony of the timing.
Because they don't care. Every day is a bad day for the money-taking agency. I don't think they've had a normal day of service without delays in the subways, buses, and the Long Island Railroad. The worst service ever, and now they want increases. And boy, finally Andy Byford woke up to what Curtis Lee has been saying, that you're losing money hand over fist because people aren't paying the fare. Fare evasion.
Fare evasion, unfortunately, with very few exceptions, is a phenomenon in transit systems. It's, again, not unique to New York, and it's something that you do have to take action to contain. We are doing a comprehensive analysis of fare evasion right now, and we intend to make a presentation to the next transit committee or the board. It will be one of the two at the December cycle of meetings. So if you just hold that thought, we will be doing a presentation.
What a schmuck. What a putz presentation. The fact is the DAs in Brooklyn and Manhattan are not prosecuting fare evasion, which means that transit cops are not writing tickets. They're not carding people, checking people to see if they have any priors.
And you contend that that's a big issue, too, because you see that firsthand. You guys there all the time, Curtis.
I see it not only going on in the outer boroughs, where it has always existed, but right in Midtown. People are doing it while one another are watching each other because it's learned behavior. They see that there is nobody stopping them. No ramification. So they say, why should I be the sucker? Why should I pay the fare when everybody else seems to be walking through?
I saw it yesterday, by the way, Curtis. I mean, I had a little sympathy because of the crazy weather situation, but I feel like I frequently see it. And you're right. It's guys and gals in nice business suits. It's not just, you know, I mean, it's all types, but, you know, these are certainly people who can pay the fare.
Well, the wanker, Andy Byford, has woken up to fare evasion because this seems to be his new topic of concern.
It's a problem, but I'm going to, before declaring a figure, I'd like to make sure the analysis is correct before we do that. Having said that, we're not being passive to it. You'll have seen on your travels around the system that fare evasion notices warnings about fare evasion have gone up at all of the subway stations. They'll go up on surface vehicles soon. So we're certainly not being passive to this phenomenon, which, again, I stress, isn't unique to New York.
Now, he told a story yesterday that I find inconceivable. He said at the subway stop he takes to go to J Street, Borough Hall, with all the other blurred, bloated bureaucrats, that he saw a fare evader. He stopped him. This nebbishy, schlubby, little, geek. There's nothing else to describe the guy. And that he forced the guy to pay his fare.
Oh, wait, so he physically went to, like, a citizen's arrest?
No. Is that he has four police
assigned. No, but can you imagine? Like Andy Byford's citizen arrest.
Yes, he says, gendarme, stop them. Gendarme, stop that man.
But give him some Grey Poupon while he's waiting. Right?
What a kya-kya down. And then he goes, hey, tough noogies, all of you. You know, everything else is going up.
That the MTA is not any different from any other company, any other organization. Its costs do go up. So there comes a point at which it's not unreasonable, I don't think, to ask the customers of that company, organization, to pay a contribution towards those increased costs. It's a bit like anything else. Your groceries increase in price. Well, guess what? So does the price of transit over time. But again, we would restrict that to at or below the rate of inflation. And we are also pressing very, very, very hard for there to be additional, sustainable, adequate alternate sources of revenue so that we don't continue to go back to the fare-paying public.
Oh, that's painful. By the way, the whole groceries analogy is so ridiculous, because if you don't like groceries at a different store, you can go somewhere else.
What?
You don't have the choice with transit. You're guaranteed to have to go a certain route, and you expect a certain kind of quality.
Right. What we're focused on is the fares that you would pay to get on a subway or a bus in the city or the Long Island Railroad. What is unspoken is the billions of dollars that people pay who never even use the system. In the sales tax that subsidized the MTA, the payroll tax, 50 cents every time you get into a yellow cab, the cell phone tax. There are about 12 different hidden fees and taxes that will be going up. And the tolls at the MTA bridges and tunnels will be going up. What do they do with that money at the bridges and tolls? I have never seen them actually fix the bridges and the tunnels, particularly the asphalt leading to and from. There are more potholes in those areas than almost anywhere in the city. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Robert, who's calling from Monroe. Welcome to Rita and Curtis here. Robert?
Hi, Robert.
Hey, folks, how are you? You know, I worked on a railroad many years for decades, and what's interesting, a lot of these fares, commuter rail like Metro North, Long Island, Staten Island, Rapid Transit, New Jersey, they're all subsidized. The people that are trains don't pay full fare. Maybe if they paid full fare, if they want the railroad to be in a better condition, let them find out what it really costs.
So wait. How much do you think... And this is an estimate, Robert. How much do you think is subsidized versus real payment? Like, if we suddenly said, okay, you know, it's no longer going to be subsidized, you're right, we'll pay for it all, but we expect good quality, how much more would it go up, are you saying? You sound like you're making excuses for bad service.
No, I'm not making excuses for bad service. I worked on Metro North, and it's a great railroad.
Yeah, by the way, I will give you credit. I do think, I'll give you credit, Robert. Metro North is better, for sure.
Right. And you got to remember, that's a railroad that started when Metro North took over from Conrail. It was only 42 million passenger rides. Now it's 85 million. But yet we only got the same amount of cars and the same road bed. So, you know, you got to give it up to the people that work on a railroad and do the work.
I understand, Robert, but when you have all these hidden fees and taxes, it raised them $2.6 billion. The tolls over the bridges and the tunnels that the MTA controls raises them an additional $2 billion. That'll go up. You're already getting clipped on the Verrazano if you don't have a plan for $17. $17. You go over the Throgs Neck or the Whitestone, you're getting clipped. You go over the Triborough, you're getting clipped. The Gil Hodges, the Henry Hudson Bridges, you're getting clipped. You go through the Queens Midtown Tunnel, the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, you're getting clipped. Maybe we can get Amazon to subsidize everybody's rides here, right? We're going to be talking about that up next with Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, who says best deal that any state, any community has ever made with a Fortune 500 corporation.
By the way, the only person I think who had a little bit of an epiphany in this board meeting was Polly Trottenberg. She's the commissioner for the New York City Department of Transportation. She actually raised the question, to her credit. She raised the question sort of there, why are we sort of adding routes? Why are we doing this when right now there is, quote, a real human cry for service? Like, let's look at the quality. Let's look at the availability. At least that was raised by one person.
Want to bet you vote for the increase? Let's go to Anthony calling from Old Tappan. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Anthony.
Hi,
how
Anthony.
Are you guys?
Good. What do you think, Anthony?
You know, we're blaming the politicians, you know, sometimes. You know, we've seen it coming. So, like, even like the New Jersey Transit, the buses. You got sometimes, you know, we got ourselves. We should have, like, even the schools, my wife's school system, they should have let them out early. By the time she picked me up, it was like 8 o'clock, and we get out. She gets out at 3.
Wait. Are you talking about the weather? Are you talking about the fares?
We're blaming the politicians on this one, but we should all have seen it coming.
Well, they should have seen it coming because they should have had the salt. They should have had the plows out. They didn't.
The DPW. What about them?
Well, there's a lot of people to blame. I actually am not necessarily blaming the top, but the top needs to hold their managers accountable.
All right, but Anthony, they're there for all the glory, right?
Oh, absolutely. You're an
Old Tappan, right?
And it's chain of command. It's a chain of command.
Right.
Absolutely.
When Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo was dedicating the new bridge and named it in honor of his old man Mario, right?
Absolutely.
He was there, bells and whistles.
I agree with it's a chain of command. I'm more concerned, like chain of command.
Right.
But it should be the top of the DPW. We didn't hear about the commissioner.
You want to bet that they had chains on their wheels while no one else did? You talk about chain of command. I guarantee you, de Blasio, half in the bag, Murphy, Cuomo had chains on the wheels of their SUVs because they weren't going to be stopped. But the rest of you, hey, you suckers, you just keep reelecting them and listening to their propaganda, and you nod your head and you say, yeah, that's right. They're incapable of running a transit system or a commuter system. 1-800-848-WABC. Well, it looks like each New Yorker pays $130 a month in taxes and fees to the MTA, even if you don't use their services. $130 a month.
That's amazing.
Where does that money go, huh? Oh, where's the accountability? Anyway, let's go to Alan in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, Curtis. Hey, Rita. How you doing? Listen, many times I swipe the card, it takes the fare off and doesn't let me in.
Oh, yeah. I've had that. That happened to me like twice yesterday. That happens a lot.
They swipe a card, they take a fare off, doesn't let you in. I want to let you know, this almost happened to Hillary Clinton, too. That she was swiping and she couldn't get in. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's because the system didn't want her in. But yeah, I remember that, Alan. She was with Ruben Diaz Jr. at the time up
right.
in the Bronx, the one and only time she ever took the subway. But I will tell you this, Alan. There is a whole group of entrepreneurial young men who stand near the turnstiles, and they will actually swipe you in on their card for $2. And you say, how can they swipe you in for $2? They're losing money on the deal, right?
Wait, I've never seen these entrepreneurs. Who are these guys?
They're everywhere.
And what are they doing? They're scammers? What are they doing?
Well, they know how to bend the card and get multiple use out of it.
Ah, very interesting.
They can get 8 to 10 swipes out of a card.
I want to know where they are because I would love to use them versus
you just
my
give them $2 favorite. Instead of the $2 and change, soon to be $3 you're going to be paying. And they make money. The system gets ripped off. And you're happy because all of a sudden you're just paying $2 for a subway ride. They're everywhere.
Wow.
Now, you would think they would have cameras at each and every one.
Yeah, watching these guys, right?
Of the toll booth areas where you have the actual entry and exit points in a subway station. How come they don't have that technology?
Yeah, God. By the way, I will give Hillary Clinton credit. At least she knew it was a swipe card. Remember, wasn't it Bernie who used the tokens?
That's right.
We were using tokens.
Bernie remembers the tokens.
Right.
And the old Al Dukakis from Brighton Beach who went to high school there at the same high school that produced Ginsburg, the U.S. Supreme Court Justice, and Chuck E. Cheese Schumer.
You missed it, Curtis. You didn't do
That's right.
When you do Ginsburg.
Well, she broke 3 ribs. She's not doing that right
okay,
now.
Okay, good.
But anyway, they all went there. He remembers the token, and I would have told him, hey, remember, instead of the guys who bend the card, the Metro card, they used to be the token suckers. You would put a token in the old token slot. They would jam it with a paper clip and paper. It would stay stuck in there. They would put their mouth on the receptacle, suck it out. and then sell it to somebody at half price. Yeah, that's right. Oh, shockaroo.
.107, the theme from The Godfather, because, boy, was it sort of a secret deal to keep in the family of Governor Cuomo and Bill de Blasio to get Amazon with their $3 billion of incentives to come to Long Island City. And now, you would think after all the backlash and all the protests, there'd be any concession. No, no, no. Governor Cuomo is doubling down, saying, I would do that deal all day long, baby.
It is, from my point of view, 25,000 jobs. It's a big transformative move for our economy to take another step in the tech sector, which is a growing sector and diversifies our economy and is a home run.
And, you know, here is the joke of it all, everybody. Governor Cuomo does concede that there will be some issues with housing. But he says, oh, that'll create a housing need, you know, because all these workers will be coming in. So it's not a problem. It's a plus, he says. And this, to me, Curtis, is the biggest joke of all, because we talked about this at first. Here it is. There are so many housing, public housing projects right there in that area. First of all, it's such a weird juxtaposition, I think, for Amazon of all companies and all the techies coming in. It's a formula for disaster. But he contends that Amazon is going to be a good neighbor, and suddenly these folks in the public housing sector are going to get these amazing $150,000 a year jobs. You got to hear this.
A partner with a very large public housing complex, they would put an incubator on site. They would do work within the local community. Yes.
Incubator. What is it? Incubator for babies? Queensbridge, that he's referring to,
yep,
is the largest public housing project anywhere in the United States, right underneath the 59th Street Bridge and a few hundred feet away from the site that's been chosen for the new Amazon headquarters. I might add, a family owns the property. Boy, are they going to be making windfall money and kickbacks to Cuomo and de Blasio, because that's where they get most of their campaign contributions from, real estate. But to seriously think that Amazon is going to go into the Queensbridge projects or Ravenswood nearby or even the Astoria projects and seek their workforce there is specious. And as we're high atop Madison Square Garden and the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you, I'd like to know anybody who thinks that, yeah, Jeff Bezos, who barely paid a minimum wage to his workers a while back until public pressure was so great to force him to pay a little bit above the minimum wage and actually offer some benefits, who has been anti-union since the day he first started his Fortune 500 company, now one of the richest in the world, is suddenly going to spend his own money to go into the nearby projects to educate young people who are poorly educated in our public school system, get them up to speed so that they could qualify for a job that pays $100,000 or $150,000. I would certainly love to hear from anyone out there who can explain it, because certainly Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, was very succinct in saying that and gave no further explanation. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Curtis, that is the most ridiculous thing. I agree with you. That is such hogwash that these people are suddenly, maybe there's some place that they may be able to work in Amazon, but they're not getting the 100. It's not like they're not going to be suddenly the overnight lottery winners.
Well,
come on.
I will tell you, there is an example of a very liberal, progressive company that has done this, not at quite that scale, 25,000.
Well,
potentially 40,000 jobs.
And talk about when he says $150,000. I mean, that is such a leap
well,
to go, you know.
I'll give you an example. Years ago, about 2004, nobody wanted to go to Red Hook in Brooklyn. It was abandoned, crime-ridden, and it had one of the worst public housing projects in America, the Red Hook projects, where Clinton Street met Bush Street. Actually, both streets intersect. It's ironic. And IKEA came in and invested in the area. I do not believe they got any subsidies or sweetheart deals from the city or the state. Invested in the area and actually went and trained some of the younger men and women from the Red Hook projects. And they ended up getting jobs there now. A few dozen. Because obviously we're not talking a facility that employs 25,000.
Yeah, and they're saying 25 to 40,000, Curtis. I mean, that's a huge difference.
IKEA, which pays more, pretty much pays a living wage, has great benefits, gives you Swedish meatballs when you walk in the door.
Yeah, and sometimes some drinks, too, which is good. That entices you to buy the furniture.
Provided a water taxi so you could get to and from it if you didn't come through the streets of Red Hook. And they also provided ferry service. So you say to yourself, this company did all of that. This internationally renowned furniture company that so many people shop. Many of you are passing by on the New Jersey Turnpike right now outside of Newark Airport. There's the big IKEA warehouse right across the way. How is it IKEA can do that? But we don't make those same demands of Amazon.
And by the way, if they did do that of Amazon, Curtis, then I would say bravo. If they could suddenly, you know, get, you know, but if they do, it is going to be so minuscule. Now, in the middle of this all, Curtis, my favorite are some of the protesters that are out there. One of them saying, stay the helipad out. Because, of course, referring to the chopper sound, because they're saying, wait a minute, how in the middle of this, talk about such a juxtaposition, you get a helipad there right in the middle of it all for the CEO, Jeff Bezos, next to the housing project. I mean, it is such the weirdest, it's almost like two different worlds right next to each other. Couldn't be more stark.
Although I will tell you, if you go to the kids in the Queensbridge projects, it's divided into two. Most of whom go to public schools, some to charter schools. And you would have asked them how many states are there in America, they'd nail it. Our own governor?
54. Didn't he say 54?
Think again.
Over 54 states.
Could I hear that again?
Over 54 states.
This is Cuomo. Now, you would have thought the media would have said, what did he say?
Wait, but Curtis, you got to cut him some slack. Because didn't President Obama say that there were, what did he say, like 55?
I know, but I think, so come on. I think it was 52 that Obama said. But,
54 states?
Right, Obama's got more smarts than Cuomo. I think anybody understands that.
54 states, and that nobody corrected him and said, sir, there are not 54 states.
No, the media, they just kowtowed to him. They folded like cheap cameras. 1-800-848-WABC, let's go to Mikey in Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Mikey.
Hi, Mike.
Yes, hello, Mike.
We're losing Mike. Let's go to Barbara from Brooklyn. Barbara, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead, Barb.
I can't stand it on the weekend when you're not on the air because, boy, you're the best 3 hours of the day for me.
Thank you, Barb. Thank you.
Yeah, I sincerely mean it. But listen, the thing is they're talking about 25 to 40,000 jobs, but I've been hearing all over the place that they are moving more and more towards robots.
Yeah, they are. So it may not even, the 25,000 might be how many thousands of robots down the road. You're right.
Exactly. So this is a great big snow job.
Well, think of it, Barbara. You have Cuomo, who again went to defense of this, even though his colleague, State Senator Michael Gennaris, who normally is his number one ally in Queens, said, hey, wait a second. How come you signed this special deal that keeps everyone else on the outside looking in?
Well, I think what happened is Amazon, this is outrageous in and of itself. Amazon required governments to commit to secrecy on negotiations about massive public investment. So think about that. A private company told the state and city governments that they can't tell the people that they represent what's going on with their dollars. It's insanity.
So this is sort of like you're Trump and there's Stormy Daniels, and you sign a deal in which you're not supposed to say anything. You get the money. So Cuomo and de Blasio are getting their kickbacks through the real estate industry and through Jeff Bezos, but they're not permitted to tell us the details. Can you imagine that they would actually sign a contract like that?
Well, that's what makes it so shady. The fact that they went around this process where now it doesn't have to go to the city council for review. City council usually, by the way, has veto power over this, Curtis. And that's what makes it so slimy.
Oh, there's no veto power.
You know, that's what I'm saying. There's no veto power. The only thing similar, by the way, was there was the Atlantic Yards in Brooklyn. They said went through sort of a similar process, but they say this is highly unusual. And the fact that it, now there's no basically change, no oversight, is so suspicious.
Well, we'll see. If any of these elected officials who love to dance and prance at a press conference and issue press releases have the culones, the huevos, to sue Cuomo and to sue de Blasio, because that's what it's going to take to stop them in their tracks. Let's go, if we can, to Mike, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Mike?
Hey, Curtis and Rita. How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. Listen, you know, these wacky lips, you know, I hope America sees the hypocrisy. You know, they talk about, they're constantly shouting about how Republicans like to give tax breaks for the rich. And, you know, when the Republicans say, well, the reason for that is that it creates jobs, they say it's not true. And then they take this Amazon deal, and they're doing the exact same thing. They're giving tax breaks to the rich, and their answer is because it's going to create jobs.
Well, also, their answer is because they're establishing in one of the most highly taxed states in the nation. So if we don't give them property tax relief and all other forms of tax relief, they won't come here. So we have to basically pay the taxes for them. We subsidize it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Of course it doesn't. But then again, this is not about Democrats and Republicans. Mike, this is about old-fashioned corruption. They made a backroom deal. There are kickbacks here. This is the same Governor Cuomo, nine of whose cronies are going to jail because they got kickbacks from the Buffalo Billions. That was $1 billion of state tax money that was invested, and it went nowhere. Mike, do you think that Cuomo suddenly changed his ways?
No, of course not. I think like all politicians, you know, they're corrupt. They'll take money any way they can, and they'll yell about the opposition without any facts.
But the problem here, Mike, is that it was the two of them kind of in cahoots. And by the way, the company, it turns out also, Curtis, that Amazon would not agree to come to New York City, the mayor revealed, unless it was assured that it wouldn't have to go through the process of approvals. Like, they bent over, they made it specifically in the deal that it would be a private deal, you know, couldn't be vetoed by the city council, just between me and the governor. Don't worry, guys. I mean, it is so blatant. It's not even, usually there's government corruption, but there's like a whole slew of them involved. These are two guys who basically said, what else do you want, Amazon?
This is about them getting political contributions as they carry on in their political life, and they guarantee Jeff Bezos and friends will be writing them big, fat checks. Let's go to Mark in Bayside. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Mark?
Hi, Mark.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I got to make it quick because I got to do some deliveries. I'm just very suspicious of this.
Are you doing Amazon? Are you doing Amazon deliveries, Mark, or what kind of deliveries?
No, it's for a deli. It's food.
Okay.
But I don't think there's going to be that many jobs. There's no way. Putting a helipad in, it's got to be a corporate headquarters, and I don't think there's going to be anywhere near that many people. It sounds grossly overinflated. The whole thing stinks.
Right. Now, wouldn't you like to see what the deal is, Mark? Don't you think that they should publicize what the deal is so that we can read it for ourselves, since we're the ones who are going to have to pony up $3 billion and give it to Jeff Bezos and Amazon?
Yeah, I agree, absolutely.
Yeah, but they won't. They signed a deal that prevents them from doing that. It's a non-disclosure deal. It's the same deal that Stormy Daniels signed with then-citizen Trump to stay hush-hush-mush-mush.
Yeah, listen, no wonder Amazon came
here. They signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Amazon is like, this is a great deal. By the way, Larmy, I think, can explain the Cuomo 54 states. Larmy, go ahead.
Let's see.
Do we have Larmy here? Yeah, Larmy, go ahead. Do we lose Larmy? There's Larmy. Go ahead.
Yeah, Cuomo said 54 states, provinces, and cities. Why do you lie?
What was that? Let's hear it. Hold on a second.
Over 54 states?
So, what are you talking about?
Why did you cut it out? Play the whole quote.
54 states and cities? There are 50 states, right?
He says 54 states, comma, provinces, cities, total.
Provinces?
Canada, you know, there's a country.
I see. Okay. All right. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. We'll go back.
We'll have to go back and see the rest of it.
Let's play the truncated version first.
Over 54 states.
Over 54 states. I don't know.
We'll have to see. I don't know if there's a back half there.
I don't know how. If it's 54 states. All right. We'll check it out.
We'll check it out. Larmy, you inspired us. We're going to check it out.
1-800-848-WABC.
So, Curtis, we were talking about the Amazon deal, and Larmy was questioning us about Governor Cuomo when he said 54 states, said that there was something else. But let's listen to it for ourselves.
This was a fierce competition over 54 states. Some publicly offering significantly more in economic subsidies than we offered. Our subsidies over 25 years, the state accepts tax
credits. That was it, 54 states.
So where's Larmy?
Yeah, where's Larmy? Call back now,
hey,
baby.
Larmy, call back.
Yeah, Larmy said there's a little comma, there is a province. Larmy, Blarmy.
That's why I said
Larmy,
provinces?
Blarney.
What is he talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, that's why I had to correct him.
But he's a sickle fantodian lackey of Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I.
Did you see he had a comma? He said there's a comma, there's a province. There was none. That was it full.
Anyway, a looming question from our last half hour about the MTA fare increase is Pat from the Bronx. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Pat.
Hey, Curtis, hi, Rita. Hey, Curtis, I want to test your subway knowledge. You were talking about the guys with the MetroCard swiping people in. Do you recall what a token sucker is?
Yes, I described
it briefly
before we went to break, but it does require more explanation. No, you're right, Pat, because Rita was fascinated, and I know that a number of others were out there. This is when, if you remember, Pat, the price of a token, because that's the only way you could get into a subway years ago, was to purchase a token from the token booth clerk.
The Bernie Sanders approach.
Right, but it was priced at the average cost of a slice and a Coke at a mom-and-pop pizzeria. So if it was $1.25, the average price of a slice and a Coke, that was the subway fare, $1.50, et cetera. So you would have your token. You would go to the turnstile, put your token in, and normally the turnstile would open. Well, what happened in the age of crack in the 80s, the crack monsters, they were desperate for money. They would come and they would position themselves near the turnstiles, and they would take paper, they would ball it up in their mouth, get it all moist and wet, and then with a paper clip, they would shove it in the slot, which meant when you put your token in, no matter how hard you shoved it, it wouldn't go down, the turnstile wouldn't turn. And the token was stuck in there. And, Pat, these dope fiends, these crackheads, would put their mouth right on the area that you put the token in, and they would suck it out.
Oh, Pat, I am cringing.
Hey, Rita, do you know how the cops could find the guys in the crowd?
How?
They were the guys with the biggest lips because they had all the sores in their mouth.
Yep.
Oh, I was about to, Pat, I was about to say that when I wish you could see my face when Curtis first said it a few minutes ago. I'm so disgusted.
Right, but the next part of it, Pat, is the reason they would do it is they would stand then right next to the turnstile and they would say, don't go to the token booth clerk and pay $1.50 or $2 for your token. I'll sell it to you for $1. And then all of a sudden, they didn't clog up all the turnstiles. So you give them $1, and they would put the token in the turnstile that they didn't clog up. And you figure you had a deal. You saved half. And meantime, the dope fiend, the crackhead, would beam himself up to Scotty.
And you wonder why there are diseases out there. First of all, I'm telling you, when you get off the subway, I want to be so disinfected. It's so gross. Can you imagine? You know, being a relative. Hey, give me a kiss, honey.
Oh, let me tell you something. I miss the days of the tokens. It was so much better than the Metro cards. You swipe. You swipe again. It's still not working.
Can you imagine if Mick Jagger was one of those guys with his lips?
Yeah,
he would have been very good.
Cold.
He would have been very good.
That's right. Definitely had that power to suck those tokens out.
Wow.
Anyway, up next, I'm going to need some of you Trumpers and Trumpets to help me with this. Because in ranting and raving about unfair voting practices in Florida, especially Broward County and Palm Beach County and Dade County.
Which there are. There is a lot of mess down there, baby.
But the president claims that people illegally voted many times because after casting their ballot, they would go back into the parking lot and they would change a hat, a shirt, pants, and they would come in completely looking differently. And then vote again, and then go back, do the same thing all over again, and do it again and again and again. People said, do you have any proof to that? No. But then again, I'd like to find out if, in fact, this has occurred, because I've learned of many ways of cheating at the polling locations. This one is one for the record books. But first, let's get our news headlines and updates. I need help, Trumpers and Trumpets, here, because the president is known to tell fibs, white lies, outright lies, and to make things up. And there are two items on the table now that I need help in understanding, because We know for weeks Rudy Giuliani and Team Trump, his personal attorneys, have been going back and forth with Mueller's investigators in trying to hone questions that the president would answer, not in person, not by voice, but they would be written answers. And the White House was very emphatic through Giuliani and Team Trump in saying that the president will not answer Mueller's questions on possible obstruction of justice. It's collusion, collusion, collusion. That's the only topic we would even consider. And apparently, they worked out the details. Mueller said, okay, no obstruction of justice. Our staff will just submit questions that have to do with collusion. And the president said, yes, he answered the written questions from Special Counsel Robert Mueller. He hasn't submitted them yet. And after meeting with his House attorneys all week, he said, let me make this clear. My lawyers didn't write the answers. I wrote the answers. Now, is there anyone out there who believes or can explain to me, if you have six attorneys who have been, that's all they've been doing, is dealing with this Mueller investigation and all of its idiosyncrasies, rumors, innuendos, what is reality, that you as the president would sit down, let's say there were 10 questions about collusion, and you would answer these yourself, or would you take the statements made by your attorneys trying to protect you, sometimes from yourself, and then maybe craft it in Trump-like language so it might appear that it was you writing it? But do we really believe the president sat down, said, hey, lawyers, out of the room, I'm going to answer these questions on my own?
All right, I'm going to contend, Curtis. I think it's a combination of the two. And I actually think because it's President Trump and this guy is such an unorthodox type president, I think he actually did write him, but then said the attorneys were like, whoa, 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 whoa. We got to go through this, buddy. You know, maybe he did answer them and quote answer them easily, as he's saying. And I'm sure there are a lot more than 10 questions. I'm sure there were tons of questions still, even if it's just on collusion. Yeah. Right. But knowing Trump, he probably answered them first and said, I want to do this. I want to do it. It's my way or the highway kind of thing. But then his attorney said, well, you can't really say it this way, Mr.
All
President.
Right. Right.
And that's where the back and forth
is. I wonder if there's anyone who concurs out there, because I just think it's one big lie. Why would you do that? You've got six attorneys.
You always think he's lying. But but President Trump is so unusual. I can't see him doing it any other way.
Why would you write out the answers only to have them changed by your lawyers upon review? It doesn't make any sense.
But then he can say, I wrote them, for the reason just now, because then he can say, well, I wrote them. Maybe they were tweaked slightly by my attorneys, but I wrote it.
Oh, please.
I'm telling you, this guy, you know his attitude.
That's 1-800-848-9222. And the issue of the moment, because of all the mishigash in Florida with the vote count, very tight race involving the U.S. Senate seat, the governor's seat, and yes, the agricultural commissioner's seat. Who knew? Who knew it was as important as the other two? Most of us don't think so, but it is an agricultural state like Texas, like California, and that's billions of billions of dollars. In that race, the Democrat is ahead. In the other two races, the Republicans are ahead.
Yeah, by the way, the Gilliam guy in the race, too, for governor. After all of that, he got one more vote, Curtis. One more vote when they did a recount. I mean, come on.
No, I understand. But the president went on record before a conservative outlet, the Daily Caller, and claimed that there were illegal votes that were made throughout Florida, and they were responsible for Republican candidate losses, which the president claimed resulted from voters returning to their homes or vehicles, changing clothes, then returning to the voting polling places and voting again and doing it all over again and again and again. And I say to myself, okay, Mr. President, that's the first time I've ever heard that. I've heard of people who steal, right? They'll go in, they'll shoplift, and they got throwaway clothes.
Right.
So that when the description is given out to 5-0, hey, it's a guy in a red shirt and blue pants, you know, who just shoplifted here at Macy's. The guy's actually wearing a blue shirt now and red pants. You know,
right.
The
or he puts
reverse.
A wig on. Or he puts a wig on, right.
Does anyone out there actually think that people, let's say in the questionable counties, Palm Beach County and Dade County and Broward,
yep,
which are gathering the enormous amount of attention in this recount, that there are residents there who vote a first time, either go home or go to their car in the parking lot, change their clothes, come back, vote again, and then possibly do it two, three, or four more times. First time I've ever heard of this. Maybe somebody can explain this to me.
That's a new one, by the way, to me, too. I do think there are people who repeatedly vote when there is voter fraud, you know, coming in saying they're a different name. Maybe they I mean, look, in New York, we didn't have to show license. They just look and see if your signature looks similar. And actually, you sort of see another signature. So sometimes you can even kind of fake it next to another signature. I can see how there's riff for voter fraud, but the disguises is a new one.
I know, but people have said, Mr. President, wow, this is a new wrinkle in voter fraud. You have any evidence, any proof of this? Nothing. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Neil, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Hey, how you doing? Happy birthday, Rita. My mother's birthday is the same day.
Oh, wow. Oh,
so
how
you
great.
You must be a good Capricorn. I mean,
I'm a Scorpio.
Scorpio.
I am a Scorpio. Thank you very much. I'm excited. This is not a big one, but I always have a fun little party or do something. You gotta love life.
My mother made it to 88. That's a big one.
That is. Oh my God! Give your mother my best, please.
I will.
Absolutely.
I think with Trump, when it came to those questions, I just think they were probably not incriminating, so he answered them.
Yeah, see, I'm with you, Neil. I'm with you.
He showed it to his attorney and said, okay, you could answer those.
No, wait a second. So he answered them without the help.
He showed it to the attorneys, and they probably looked at the questions and said, you know, Donald, you could just answer those questions.
You really
think?
Wait a second. Neil, you know Donald Trump. You really think
I don't know that well.
I understand, but you know how he has gone through. They've had practice runs before. Giuliani has admitted there have been practice runs in which the president has gotten all fouled up.
But we don't know the questions.
Okay, so you're a believer that he himself answered all these questions. He didn't need the help of his lawyers.
No, he had the help of his lawyers, but they weren't incriminating questions. So he turned them out and said, I answered them myself.
All right, okay. It's like, you know, like a multiple choice question on a test. To do.
I agree with Neil that I actually think the president kind of took control of it. Knowing this president, I think
If you're a Democrat, you certainly hope he took control of the situation.
Yeah, because you don't like him. But the president, I think, actually looked at him and said, let me answer. I want to say I answered
him.
And then he showed it to the attorneys like anybody else would do. I'm sure the attorney said, let me look it over, Mr. President.
It's normally the attorneys who sit down with you and craft your responses.
Not when you're the president of the United States.
Okay.
Not when you're the president and not when you're president.
He's lying. Let's go to
Ed. He is not. I don't think he is. You will never give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, Ed.
Curtis. I know the answers. I know exactly what Donald wrote.
Okay.
And I don't know why you don't like him, but that's another story for another day.
All right.
He wrote, number one, answer number one, no. Number two, no.
Ah,
number
that's
three,
interesting.
Not at all. Number four, no. Number five, no. Number six, no. How many questions were there?
There were probably a lot, but I'll tell you one thing, Ed. That's actually interesting, but I don't think all the questions were yes or no questions.
You can't do that, Ed.
You could.
You can't yes or no.
You could. But I bet you maybe there's one or two that are yes or no, and the other 30 are explain why. They're not going to craft a question.
Ed, come on. Do you think we're all morons here?
Curtis.
Mueller and his staff are going to submit just yes and no questions. What is wrong with Ed?
Curtis, what is wrong with you?
After all these months, they're just going to submit a questionnaire in which you answer yes or no. Get out of here. Come on.
Yeah, or checkbox. Can you imagine allowing?
Sure.
Hey, can you imagine? I will say there probably are one or two where he could do that. I bet you the other 80 are explain why.
Let's go to Lauren, who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Lauren.
Hi, Laura.
Refresh your memory when we had the guy ready to sweep out the cell just before we were hoping that Gotti was going to go to jail. Remember that night?
Let's see if we can straighten Lauren out there.
Lauren, fix the audio.
The dischronificator is definitely interfering with your voice.
She sounds like she's in a tunnel.
Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on? It's Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, we got that.
The voter fraud is real. I I've voted twice one time. I saw my brother's name. He's a military guy. He's out in Florida. I came in, voted for myself, came back 6 hours later and voted for him.
Wait, Mike, you're admitting that you committed voter fraud right now?
One time.
All right, now, Mike, did you come back?
And I'm not the only one. Other people have done it as well.
All right, but, Mike, did you change your clothes to bamboozle everybody?
No, never changed the clothes.
All right, okay. So I'll accept that, but the president is saying...
I came back with a baseball hat.
Yeah, but
I signed his name.
All right, but Mike, understand what the president is saying. This was an organized effort of people going to the polls.
But it's possible. It's possible.
Okay.
It's not organized.
All right, so where's the evidence?
Well, you know.
There are cameras in the parking lots. Mike, there are cameras in all these parking lots, Mike.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you.
Hey, come on, let's go to the videotape. If the president knows exactly where it was happening in Palm Beach or in Broward County or Dade County, let's go look at the videotape.
He is speaking about voter fraud in general. Yeah, it's a stretch to sort of have the Maxwell Smart different outfits. I agree. Yeah, but there is voter fraud.
I understand.
And look, Mike just attested to it.
I know, but when your candidates lose, they lose. When they win... they win.
Yeah, but suddenly if you come up with 93,000 new votes, I think some flags should go off.
Right
come
now,
on.
The Republicans are ahead. So if you want to claim voter fraud, get the evidence, come forward with it, like the millions of illegals in California who voted for Hillary. I'm still waiting here, Rita, for one affidavit, one means of proof that the president and the committee he put together, that he folded, by the way, in investigating the election. Let me see all those illegal aliens that voted for Hillary in California.
Although there are cases now in Florida, and that's the big issue with Rick Scott in that race, in the Senate race, the attorney for the other side has come out and said, we do think some that are not legal citizens should vote.
Right.
And Scott... understandably was like, whoa.
That's not what the president said.
I know,
he
but
said
I'm telling,
people are changing their clothes.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what Scott said.
I understand, but that's not what the president said.
Yeah, but he's talking about voter fraud. There is voter fraud.
I understand, but no proof of what he's saying. He's the president of the United States. Let's go to RC in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, RC.
Hi, RC.
Hey, how are you? Hey, listen, in Florida, do they have to sign the book like we do here in New York?
Yeah, yep. But you know how, by the way, do you know how easy that is? I mean, when I could have just looked at my signature and kind of faked it.
Mm-hmm. So you telling me that I could go in there, as I did, you know, on the 6th, I signed the book, I went and I voted, and then I could come back 10 minutes or whatever time and sign the book and sign again?
No, you'd have to sign for someone else. You'd have to sign for someone else. You'd have to say, now I'm Larry. I was Sarah before. Now I'm Larry.
So you'd have to know, RC, that supposedly this other person hasn't voted yet, and you're voting for them.
Or they're dead, and they haven't picked
it
up off the roll.
This is so unbelievable that the president would spin this.
Not only unbelievable, this is the most outrageous, crazy thing I've ever heard of. And let me tell you something. I've been voting for 60 years. I've never heard anything as crazy as this. And one thing before I leave. Rita, it's your birthday?
My birthday is Sunday. Thank you.
Well, happy birthday. But I have some advice for you, Rita.
Go ahead, RC.
Stop kissing his fanny because he doesn't respect you. He doesn't respect any women.
Well, you know what, RC?
Yes, I do.
RC?
I respect Rita. I respect women. What are you talking about, RC?
He is blasting President Trump.
Oh,
but, RC,
I thought he was talking about me.
There is voter fraud, baby. So wake up, and I'll have a very good birthday. I'll toast to freedom, and I'll toast
first
to America.
Time I ever heard of that scam.
I'll toast to voter fraud.
I'm more than
Sunday
happy
on my
to
birthday.
Learn. Mr. President, teach me about this form of voter fraud, but you've yet to provide any documentary
there
evidence.
Is voter fraud. I don't know about the Maxwell Smart outfits, but there's voter fraud.
1-800-848-WABC.
This is breaking news on 77 WABC New York.
All the pieces are beginning to fit into place on this Amazon deal that de Blasio and Cuomo signed with Jeff Bezos. And they signed a piece of paper that prevents them from discussing the secret deal with anybody. Well, today, in the midst of the aftermath of the failed ability of the city to deal with 6 inches of snow, you think de Blasio would just be focused on that? No, he just announced he's firing the investigation commissioner of the city of New York, Mark Peters, which in a small way would be the equivalent if Donald Trump had decided to fire Mueller.
Yeah, this is it. Well, you know what's so interesting, Curtis? Like you said, when I saw there was like, you know, a big alert, okay, it's firing, I'm thinking, okay, did he finally take the helm of maybe the sanitation department that did so poorly? Is he suddenly doing something dramatic and firing someone, holding someone accountable? No, it's someone who he has had a personal beef with, Mark Peter, who he says has had a big abuse of power, that Peters has mistreated underlings. It's like a personal squabble. That's what his focus is on.
Well, his former friend has investigated himself at length, especially his failings with NYCHA, and I think this is preemptive because he knows that this investigation commissioner no more fired today, Mark Peters, would launch an investigation into this backroom deal. That would be his responsibility. I mean, we would expect that of him, but he won't be able to do that. He's going to be on the unemployment line. Any more details, we'll feed it to you as this program continues. But what a sad, sad situation taking place out in Central Islip Family Court. We talked about this before. As a young boy who had to have aggressive chemotherapy against this leukemia that has stricken him as a 13-year-old. And he had it all summer long, almost like a daily barrage of chemotherapy. And the cancer was in remission. But then all of a sudden, his mother wanted to take him to Florida for alternative treatments while he was in remission, a holistic homeopathic treatments. And the hospital stepped in and said, no, he's going to need continued chemotherapy treatments. They've gone to a judge. The family court judge has sided with the hospital and not with the mother, even after the boy had made this YouTube plea that has gone viral.
This is Nick Gunderson reporting from Winthrop Hospital, where they're keeping me hostage. I'm very mad because this is supposed to be outpatient and I don't have cancer, so there's no need for chemotherapy. But they think that I do have cancer, which is false. I really need to get out of here because it's causing me a lot of stress and I can't deal with it anymore. I'm getting more here than anywhere else. This place is not okay for me to be in. I don't need to be in any hospital. That's all I have to say at the moment. Thanks for listening.
The 13-year-old boy says, please, don't confine me to this hospital. It's like a prison cell. I don't have cancer right now. It's in remission.
Curtis, it's so heartbreaking when I hear that because to me, that is it. It so epitomizes, and he wants to be with his mom. By all accounts, she's a good mom. It's not like there's like this history of abuse. And it's in remission. And the mom is saying, listen, I could get this alternative care. She even offered, even at one point, to say, okay, I'll surrender my, you know, I still want custody of my child. I will let the hospital do it. They are not seeing any ground. This to me is so overreaching by the hospital and by government.
Judge Matthew Hughes ordered that the child be in the care of a family friend. So he's no longer in the care of his mother. The family friend has promised to continue his prescribed chemotherapy treatments. In fact, the judge ordered that as of today, even though his cancer is in remission, that the spinal injections of chemo start taking place, which caused this reaction from his mother, Candace Gunderson, outside of the courtroom.
At this point, I actually genuinely feel that I have failed him because they have literally taken away my ability to protect him and to look out for him in the very best way that I know how.
And then she talked about how chemo can ravage your body.
I agreed up front to the chemotherapy because I understand that the chemotherapy kills the cancer cells. But once the cancer cells are no longer present, the chemotherapy just destroys the body.
And then she said over the long term, as the mother of this 13-year-old boy, hey, he's entitled to be happy, to live, to have a good life.
I would rather be free to be happy and live and hang out with my friends and do fun things and then die than be in a hospital and have to go through treatment that makes me sick, it doesn't make me feel good, and I won't be able to be with my friends, I can't be in school, and then I die.
It's so hard. Curtis, I'm telling you, I get so outraged at this that suddenly a court is deciding what is better for the child than someone's parent. And she did take him to chemo. It's not like there are some cases, there are some religions where they won't give them inoculations. They won't do a number of things. This is such a case of, it seems like a mother trying to do the best for her child. And I feel like the government and the courts, shame on them. It's 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Is there anybody out there that thinks that this was the right decision from this court?
Well, clearly Child Protective Services in Suffolk does, because they've sided with the doctors at the hospital against the mother and are forcibly administering through spinal injections chemotherapy as of this moment in a hospital, even though his cancer is in remission. Now, many of you have had chemotherapy. You can describe for us and our audience the effects, and whether you side with the mother or you side with the court, child services, and the doctors. It's your choice. Whose side are you on, ladies and gentlemen? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
And Curtis, my mother had cancer. My father did too at the end of their lives, but my mother had chemotherapy. And I can tell you firsthand, it is so exhausting. And I can't imagine how it is on a 13-year-old boy. You know, my mother was 73. And yet this 13-year-old boy, and he's begging. When I hear that, it brings me to tears to hear this. And this mother sounds like she is making some efforts, and yet the court is stepping in. I think it is outrageous.
Well,
and
I think it's their egos. It's their egos. It's the ego of the judge, child services, the hospital. We know better what's in the best interest of the child than the mother. Unbelievable. Let's go to Anthony, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Anthony.
Hi, Anthony.
Yeah, hi. How are you guys?
We're good. I'm just so upset about this story, Anthony.
Yeah, same here. It doesn't make any sense at all. There's something missing on this story because not everything is. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever because in order to get chemotherapy, there has to be informed consent.
Right, but a court can override that, Anthony, and that's what's happening.
Okay.
Remember, he's not an adult. He's a child. Child services have stepped in. They've said you're hurting your child. So basically, child services has made him a ward of Suffolk County.
Wow, that makes, even though he doesn't appear to be abused by this mother.
And we haven't heard that either. That's what I was looking for, Anthony, too, at first. Like, was there some history of abuse? We're not hearing that. They just decided this is what they think. Can you imagine your child that suddenly somebody comes in and says,
right.
That
but
treatment's,
you know,
not good.
Anthony, you know how some doctors are. They're pretentious a-holes. You know, they know it all. How dare you as a mother suggest that what I'm suggesting is not good for the son. Then they get child services involved. They put their foot down, and it becomes bitter instead of saying, well, what's in the best interest of the boy? Right now he's in remission. How about he's no longer in remission? We enforce this court order. Right now, he's in remission.
Right, and he's begging not to have it, too. And the mother, by all accounts, she allowed the chemotherapy at first. It's not like she said, oh, I'm not giving him any treatment.
Let's go to Lynn, who's calling from Mount Sinai. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Yes, hi. Hi, Rita. I disagree with you completely. I certainly understand the mother's position. You know, she wants her child to be happy. But research and science are what they are. This kid's cancer is absolutely better served long term, so he can play for the rest of his life instead of just now, short term, with this type of treatment. This treatment has a 90% survival rate when he gets the treatment that the hospital is looking for him to have, which has to be for a while, not just to get him into remission.
Lynn, no, I get it. Lynn, you're talking to, my mother went through chemotherapy. But Lynn, the mother even said at one point in this case This mother bent over backwards. She basically said, I'll even allow these treatments if you still give me custody of my child, if you still let me oversee it. And they still took the child away. Like, she even said, it's not my judgment, but all right, I'll even let you kind of go through these treatments. And they still wouldn't let her.
But to be honest with you, I mean, I'm very familiar with the story. It is with a family friend. So I don't think they're really pulling the child away from her completely.
Oh, oh, it's her child. Lynn, it is her child.
A family friend?
I have three children, too, and I have to tell you something. In the best interest of the child is what a parent should be. I think this woman is misguided.
Lynn, she has a right to her own opinion.
Absolutely.
And chemotherapy is no guarantee. How many people have perished and have had chemotherapy? There are alternative therapies. She wants to explore them. He is in remission right now. She should have the opportunity to explore it.
Right.
They're not giving her the chance.
And how dare, I think it sets such a dangerous precedent, Curtis. Can you imagine if doctors can intervene every time? Oh, no, 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 you don't need this. We're going to do this, but wait, I want this.
I can just think of the doctor who told me, you better get that prostate out, you know, stage 4 cancer. Dumbest thing I ever did.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Doctors don't always know.
Let's
come
go to Rocky calling from White Plains. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Rock.
Hi, Rock.
Rock, hey, how are you, Curtis and Rita? Listen, Rita, you might remember me. I am a doctor. I'm a cardiac, a heart surgeon. You were at the hospital ball about 12 years ago, and I was honored.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah. Hey, actually, I do, Rock. I do. I remember
it. You do, because you had some very kind words.
Thank you.
The 26th of this month is 15 years since I was diagnosed with acute leukemia.
Wow.
And I did have therapy. I had high dose. Now, the thing is with this, you know, he's in remission. There are two phases. You know, there's an induction phase. Now, I'm not an oncologist, but I had it. After the induction phase, they'll redo a bone marrow, and you may be in remission. But the standard of care is then another 5 to 6 months of maintenance. But that doesn't have to be done in the hospital. I mean, that could be done as an outpatient, and that's medicine. That's a you know, that's database. That's evidence. I mean, and there's good results with that.
Hey, Rocky, you bring up an interesting point, because I don't understand that. At one point, the mother said, listen, I'll even allow these treatments. I don't agree with them, but give me custody at least to have a say. They wouldn't even let her have a say. Maybe the alternative was something at home.
Rocky,
that's a great idea.
There's no question. No, listen, when I had the maintenance, you know, which went on for 5 months after the induction, and I went back to work full time. It's 15 years, and my survival was 20%. 5 years at that time, and you know I'm still here.
And Rock,
working.
I do remember. You look great.
Right,
I remember. Rock's
I will tell you
proof.
This: you tell a standard medical doctor that you're seeking homeopathic, holistic solutions to your problem, and they look at you like all of a sudden you're a traitor. Hey, that's not going to work.
Right, exactly.
Taking vitamin supplements, that's not going to work. It's like, that's your opinion, Doc.
It is. It's not
fair. You can't force that down the mother's thought process. She's already submitted her son to chemotherapy.
And
now you rip the child right out of her hands?
And Curtis, they even allowed her to play a role. Like, she even said at one point, I will even allow the chemotherapy to go. I like Rocky's idea, even have it at home. You could even have the cancer treatment, the chemotherapy at home.
The mental state.
And they said, too bad.
The mental state of the boy is going to play into this. If he's depressed, if he's unhappy, that benefits his recovery process? How stupid is that?
And they found no middle ground either, Curtis. That's
what's
so outrageous.
Well, because it got all of a sudden a judge who's pretentious, child services, the doctors, we know better than you, ladies. Shut your mouth. We got your kid. Just say a prayer that he stays alive. 1-800-848-WABC. Judge overrules a mom and orders chemo for a teen son out in Long Island being administered today. As we speak, to the phones we go. It's Brenda, who's calling from Livingston. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Rita and Curtis. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am a 10-year colon cancer survivor. I did go through chemotherapy for 6 months, and I can tell you it is absolutely no picnic. In addition to, you know, the typical side effects you hear about with fatigue and nausea, there are also some long-term effects with chemotherapy, which I have. One is called neuropathies that are permanent in my fingers and toes. So this is 9 years out. I still struggle with that.
Wow.
With the cold weather.
Wow. By the way, you are one courageous gal, too. I'm telling you, anyone who goes through that. Hey, Brenda, what do you think in this case? Do you think it's fair that suddenly a court is coming in and telling the mom what to do?
Absolutely not. I'm the mom of a boy with special needs who is 15 years old. And although, thank God, my son has never had cancer, he's gone through a number of medical procedures in his young life. But at the end of the day, it was always the decision of my husband and myself.
Sure.
Such a precedence really makes me very angry and scared for us parents of our children. The government has absolutely no right to tell us, you know, what to do with our kids.
Well, imagine ganging up on this woman is not only the judge, the hospital, and child services, and she's saying, I don't have a problem. Look, I allowed my son to get the chemotherapy the first time, but he's in remission. It's the perfect time for me to try these alternative therapies. And they said, no, what do you know? You're just the mother.
I think it's outrageous. And Curtis, also, I think you need to listen to the doctors, take their advice, make their decision, but if you want to try another route, up to you. How dare them intercede?
Let's go to Manny in Warwick. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Manny?
Hey, how you doing, Curtis?
Good.
Back in 1994, my son was diagnosed with a deadly neuromuscular disease, and we had literally no hope whatsoever. So we happened to run into a woman who told us about a doctor in Newark, New Jersey. He told us about this therapy to help my son. It was very controversial at the time. No doctor would let us use it. We forced our way and did it. He was supposed to be dead at 2, my son. He's now 25.
Wow. Oh, bravo.
All I can tell this woman is you keep up the good fight. Don't let these people push you around, man. You got to do whatever you got to do for your kid, man. That's all that matters.
Manny,
wow.
Bravo.
So you stood up to the medical establishment who insisted you were going, you and your wife were taking your son down the wrong path, and he's alive today, 20 years later. My God.
You know, Curtis, the reality is it was such a simple concept. What happens to these kids is they choke on their own secretions and die.
Yes.
So he took the concept of basically a shot back, and he figured out a way to get these secretions out of these kids and help them live. And to be honest with you, my son was one of the first kids to do this. And, you know, hundreds of kids have been saved because of this therapy.
Wow.
And, you know, the funny thing is, still to this day, doctors are fighting with parents that want to use this therapy.
Oh, no.
And it's scary.
You see stories like this all the time because, remember, I've said surgeons, they just want to do surgery. People who are experts with chemotherapy, that's what they want to do. They rarely, if ever, say, well, let me give you the Chinese menu here.
Right.
Okay, look,
and that's what you need to do.
I know surgery best,
yep.
But there are alternatives. After you explore the alternatives, you may want to come back. No, if you don't have surgery, you're going to be dead within months.
Well, what you need to do also is look at different opinions. I think you need to listen to the doctors, respect the doctors, get different opinions, because it is like a Chinese menu, Chris. You'll find doctors who will give you different opinions.
And you said, wait a second, that five-minute meeting cost me $5,000, and I'm supposed to respect you when you give me a bill like this, doctor?
Well, that's the problem.
But anyway, right now, let's get our news headlines and up.
Never go wrong with a little Elvis. It's 2:39 here on 77 WABC. And this is the perfect song, Curtis, because just a few minutes ago, they are partying at the White House. They're probably drinking a little bit of libations because the president has awarded the Medals of Freedom, which is a big deal, obviously. And among them was Elvis Presley posthumously getting it. And also Babe Ruth and a number of other folks, Justice Scalia, a number of other folks, and some people who are alive as well were added to that. It was 48 years ago.
Well, let me get this straight. So Elvis Presley, dope fiend.
Oh.
Babe Ruth, alcoholic.
Yeah, great at their fields.
Right.
By the way, Bill Cosby got it. Remember? Bill Cosby got it.
A perv.
Yeah,
right.
And to his credit, by the way, I remember when I interviewed President Trump, he said Bill Cosby should not have gotten it. So he was right on that. But 48 years ago was when Elvis was actually there with Nixon. Remember the famous handshake of all that. I will be, I'm sure, drinking libations this weekend because it's my birthday this weekend, which I'm very excited about. I always have a good time. You know, I don't need any reason to celebrate.
How many Shirley Temples will you have drunk by the end of the weekend?
You mean by the end of the show or by the end of the weekend?
By the end of the weekend.
By the end of the weekend. I'm not sure about Shirley Temples, but I do like a little bit of champagne. You know me. Mm. I like a little champagne and Prosecco. I'll never go wrong with that. But it is a new study, and I'm not surprised about this. And this is something that's hit all of us here in this area because it is cold outside. Boy, was it freezing yesterday. And there's a new study that actually says that there is definitely an increase in alcohol consumption when it's cold outside. You always kind of wonder, okay, are we just using it as an excuse to drink? Which, you know, sometimes you and I don't really need an excuse to drink, or at least I don't. You know, I always like a good party. But there's a new study that says that alcohol consumption does go up, and a lot of it has to do with just when it's gloomy outside, dreary weather. It kind of ties to a blue Christmas, a little bit of a depression. If you're depressed, you tend to drink more. It's like a lot of people who tend to eat more when they're depressed. And now this new study says that when it is cold outside, when it's a little dreary outside, it's the reason you tend to the booze.
So you said it's blue, a depression. Well, you're talking about the Irish. They're always depressed, especially the guys. They got a cloud over their head. So that's why they consume so much Irish coffee, right?
Yeah, now
they always
told
me, I'm drinking Irish coffee. I said, 6 o'clock in the morning, Irish coffee, you're going to be half in the bag. Oh, no, it keeps me nice and warm and toasty in the cold weather. I said, really? Irish coffee? It's more booze than it is coffee.
Are you talking about Governor Murphy, or who are you talking about now?
Oh, half in the bag, Governor Murphy, right, who's blaming all the meteorologists for the mess that he didn't clean up yesterday in New Jersey with the snow. But no, I mean, Irish coffee, the Irish will claim, oh, that keeps me warm. Or the whole concept of hot toddy, right? Have a hot toddy and you'll stay warm. The apple cider and warm. Or, as the Japanese believe, the warm sake. You'll go up to Hokkaido in the north where they have snow and they have all kinds of inclement weather. And they're down in that hot sake, not the cold sake, hot sake, and they claim, oh, it stimulates you. It makes you 10 degrees warmer than you normally are in the cold.
But now there's medical proof. They're saying that alcohol actually does increase warm blood flow in the skin. So now we have a justification to drink that hot sake or whatever we want to drink. And it also says that it is that people do turn to it, that there is definitely an increase in binge drinking. So do you guys believe that it actually does make you warmer, like Governor Murphy seems to believe? Is it actually a heat? We could have used it yesterday for sure. Or are we just making excuses for drinking and partying like I often do?
I think so. I think so. Especially everybody who carries a flask around and they're always either drinking, nipping at the brandy, the rum, or whatever libation is in there. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, I've noticed those who love to drink vodka, they'll claim that's what you drink when it's warm out. And say you don't drink it when it's cold out. Now, I've never been a vodka aficionado, and now that I have Crohn's disease,
by the way, I like vodka.
I can't drink it at all.
I like good Polish vodka, Curtis.
I know, but they're claiming that it's good in warm weather to drink vodka, but not in cold weather. And then there are others who claim that if you drink, supposedly to prevent hypothermia, that drinking actually lowers the temperature of your body, and it's actually bad for you. So it's almost like mixed messages. Mixed messages. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Now it makes sense, though, Curtis, because, listen, Poland is often very, very cold. And I'm going to say the flip side, that they tend to go, do you think about the colder countries? Russia, they drink a lot. Poles, they like to drink a lot.
Well, how many people have drunk wine and they say, boy, that warms my body? You know, a nice glass of red wine, not so much white wine.
And they're saying, the doctors are saying, actually, that booze does do that. So I actually do think it does. I mean, how many times, I'm not a big skier, but the few times I have gone skiing, a little bit of peach schnapps in the flask is a good thing.
Oh, schnapps and sponge cake there. 1-800-848 WABC. Let's go to Brody in the Bronx. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Brody.
Hey, guys. So here's the skinny. I make myself that when I get home from work, a double Kettle One on the rocks, a piece of lemon. And what that does, it mitigates all of the nonsense that I experienced during the day. You know, there's no shortage of schmucks on the planet, and all of us encounter them frequently. So it sets the tone for the night, which is usually more social, personal, than the day, which is mundane and work. And it's a nice, you know, I figured you got to balance 16 hours. To have a good lifetime, you got to have a good day. A lifetime is no more than a bunch of days strung together. Have a good life, got to have a good day. So for the sake of this conversation, guys, if you sleep 8 hours, you're left with 16 hours to measure and to basically figure out how to spend those 16 hours. If you could figure out how to spend your 16 hours, you have a good life.
All right, but you get home, and you mentioned everything that you had to deal with in order to finally get to your castle, your house, and that's right. When you prepare your evening drink. How do you feel afterwards? What's the difference?
The difference is it takes the edge. It takes the edge off all of the mishigas that I had during the day.
All right, now that I understand, but let's assume all of a sudden there was a snowfall. You had to take the shovel out. You had to go outside in the cold. You're sniffling a little bit. By drinking that drink of your choice, does that actually keep you warm?
Not only keeps me warm, but again, to reiterate, it takes the edge even off of that. If I was feeling very cold, I take that double shot Kettle One, get in a hot shower, come out of that, and I'm feeling real good.
What about that? What about some good Polish vodka? Because Kettle One is not Polish vodka. There's some great Polish vodkas out there. And Brody, what about if you come home and your spouse is a nagging hullabaloo? You may want to like make it a quad drink, not just a double.
Well, she's already on a half bottle of wine, so it's no problem.
Woo! It sounds like a bunch of boozos.
But I know for years people would look forward to their cocktail or their martini.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that because, again, for the sake of this conversation, you know, it's life is not easy to negotiate. So sometimes you need, some people do drugs, some people smoke reefer, some people do a line of cocaine, some people take a hot shower. For me, it's a double Kettle One, piece of lime or lemon, and I'm good.
I like a little, maybe not the Kettle One, but I'll do a little champagne, Curtis.
There'll be a lot of people following his recipe tonight and then taking a nice hot shower and getting loose. I didn't get a chance to ask him what he does afterwards with his wife, who's half in the bag with half a bottle of wine already in the tank.
That's why I was saying it's a big boozo house.
I mean, that's an urge to merge kind of situation. Let's go to Bella, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Bella.
Hi, Bella.
Hi. I just want to tell you that I lived in Wisconsin for 25 years, and over there you had in the winter hot chocolate with rum.
I've had that.
You deserve to do that.
You know what, Bella? That's a good. My birthday's this Sunday. I'm going to try that because that's a good formula.
You, hot chocolate with rum is the thing to do,
and that will warm you up if you have to go outside and wrestle with the elements.
Cross country skiing and everything. Everybody had it in the little thermoses. Mm.
You know
what
I would do?
The football game.
Hey, Bella, I used to do a little peach schnapps because that's always really good, and those little flasks.
You have not tasted hot chocolate with rum.
Mm. I know. You know where I tried it? I went to school in South Carolina. It was a windy, snowy day. One day, they don't have a lot of snow down there.
Okay.
We tried a couple hot chocolates with rum, and I woke up the next day, and I remember meeting somebody who said I had danced with them all night long. I was like, okay, I guess it was a good time.
Yeah, but
isn't that another comment about it? I know you're not talking about it that anymore, but I had a friend in Wisconsin. Her name was Pam Winningham, whose life was extended by 30 years with Dr. Brzezinski, I'm not sure he's still alive, from Texas in Houston, who did alternative medication, and she had brain cancer, and her life was extended by 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
Wow,
no,
see,
no doubt.
It works.
No
I'm
doubt.
Telling you, when you have somebody you love, you go to the ends of the earth, you try everything.
Yeah, I wonder what was in that St. Bernard's rum jug. We always used to see in cartoons, the big dog, the St. Bernard, would be up in the Swiss Alps and come to the aid of skiers who had sort of lost their way. Maybe they were caught in an avalanche or a blizzard. It said rum jug, but was it just rum? in that little wooden cask that was beneath their furry chin.
You got to have a little bit. When you're skiing, either peach schnapps or I like the hot chocolate with rum.
Let's go to Larry in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Larry.
Happy Friday, Curtis, Rita.
Thank you. You too. You too. What do you suggest with the booze?
They also, I just read the study this week. There was another study out about beer. They said the beer makes you smart.
Beer makes you smart.
Or makes you fart, depending on the person.
No, it makes you smart. It made Budweiser.
Yeah, well, what do you mean, made Budweiser?
Well, they have good commercials.
I understand that. But the Clydesdales are not all that smart. I've never met a horse that's smart.
And I met a lot of people who had a lot of booze that were definitely dumbos.
I think the thing with the alcohol in the winter, I think people drink it because the alcohol opens your capillaries up.
It must, because remember, for years, you would go up to a guy or a gal when it was inclement and cold out, and they'd have their little flask, a little silver flask.
Yep, sure.
In which they'd go down the hatch. 1-800-848-WABC.